NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by the Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the welfare of retail store employees. Here is William Littauer.
James Earl Ray claimed today he did not murder Martin Luther King and was pressured into making a guilty plea in court. Ray changed his story today during a conference with Savannah, Georgia attorney J.B. Stoner, who will represent him in civil libel action against Life magazine and other publications. Stoner says the suits will be filed against anyone who interfered with Ray getting a fair trial. Memphis Police Captain R.A. Cochran commented on the Stoner report, saying he was amazed so many people still insist King's death was the result of a conspiracy. Cochran played a major role in the King murder investigation. He said Ray made many blunders, things he would never have done had there been any sort of mastermind behind the plot. The senior Republican in the Senate, George Aiken of Vermont, declared today he is convinced President Nixon wants an arms limitation agreement with the Soviet Union. A member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Aiken says he is sure work is already underway at the lower levels on an agreement which would enable the president to drop the controversial anti-ballistic missile project. Another member of the Foreign Relations Committee, Democrat Frank Church of Idaho, doubted Defense Secretary Laird's testimony this week changed the hardcore opposition, but Church added this.
The chances are that this being a new weapons system, it will get approved. And I think the Nixon proposal has increased those chances over what they would have been had the original Johnson proposal remained unaltered. As I say, it's very difficult to actually block the construction of a new weapon system. And all I can say is that this particular new proposal has larger opposition in the Senate than I have ever seen before. And I think it's going to be a good hard fight that we'll put up to try and stop it.
Idaho Democratic Senator Frank Church. In the strongest Soviet press reaction to the ABM debate, a weekly political magazine charged that President Nixon's decision to go ahead with the ABM shows he is still thinking in Cold War terms. More news after this for the RCIA.
Many store workers have responded to RCIA radio messages by writing to ask how they too may benefit through union collective bargaining agreements with their employers. More than 250,000 store workers have joined the local unions of the RCIA, the Retail Clerks International Association, since these messages have been broadcast on NBC Radio, making the RCIA one of the fastest-growing labor unions in America. Nearly 600,000 store workers in the United States and Canada are members of the RCIA. As members of this successful organization, they enjoy many benefits which are spelled out in union collective bargaining agreements negotiated with their employers. Among these benefits are good pay, safeguards against unfair dismissal, valuable seniority rights, hospital and medical insurance, and adequate retirement plans, all paid for by their employers. For more information about the RCIA, write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036. Once again, William Littauer.
About 300 Anguillans staged the first anti-British demonstration today since a small invasion force landed on the tiny Caribbean island last Wednesday. Mostly women and children, the mob pummeled British administrator Anthony Lee as he tried to get out of his car. No serious injuries were reported. The communists seized the initiative in ground fighting around Saigon today as the enemy winter-spring offensive entered its fifth week. Sharp battles were fought within 50 miles of the capital. U.S. commanders have been alerted, but officials doubt anything more than rocket attacks will be launched against the capital. Allied intelligence estimates there are about 1,500 enemy troops positioned within 5 miles of Saigon. U.S. Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker is flying to California to confer with President Nixon on the situation in South Vietnam. Leaving Saigon, Bunker refused to tell reporters what subjects he will discuss with the president, but he is expected to say the U.S. effort is making overall progress and will continue to do so if the allies stand firm. More in a moment.
Hi, this is Don Adams. Last night, I got a low-cost homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowner's insurer. It covers my home and belongings in case of fire, theft, and storm. Would you believe I saved enough money on it to buy a big yacht? Would you believe a small dinghy?
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Sources in Moscow report the long-delayed World Communist Party Conference will be held June 5th. 67 parties have reportedly agreed to take part in the conference, originally scheduled for last November, but postponed because of disagreements over the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. The Kremlin has sought a world unity conference for years, but differences with Red China have largely been responsible for the failure to arrange it. Once again, the hour's top story, James Earl Ray's new lawyer says Ray now claims he did not murder Dr. Martin Luther King. William Littauer, NBC News reporting.
Listen again on the hour when State Farm brings you NBC Monitor News. Here you got your Monitor 69 with music by Werner Muller and the orchestra, Delilah. Welcome to Monitor 69. I'm known as Morgan, a fairly prosaic name compared to some. Like, for instance, the name of this vocal group we're going to hear from right now, Gary Lewis and the Playboys. This is their new one, Rhythm of the Rain.
Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain, telling me just what a fool I've been. I wish that it would go and let me cry in vain, and let me be alone again. The only girl I care about is gone away, looking for a brand new start. But little does she know that when she left that day, along with her she took my heart. Rain, please tell me, now does that seem fair for her to steal my heart away when she don't care? I can't love another when my heart's somewhere far away.
I wish that it would go, I'd be crying, babe, and let me go.
Winter Sports. For a progress report on the Sebring, Florida 12-hour automobile race, here is Chris Economaki.
At the halfway mark of the 12 hours of Sebring endurance race in Florida, the duel for top honors is now between Ferrari of Italy and Porsche of Germany in a seesaw contest. For the first 4.5 hours, it was a three-way battle, with Roger Penske's Lola Chevrolet, winning car in the 24 hours of Daytona, mixing with the lone Ferrari and Porsche team for the lead until a suspension arm broke, retiring the Anglo-American entry. The Italian Ferrari, with New Zealander Chris Amon and Italian expatriate Mario Andretti of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, alternating at the wheel, now hold a slim 90-second lead over the Porsche roadster of Gerhard Mitter and Udo Schütz of Germany. The Porsche team cars are also third and fourth, with the British-entered Ford GT40 fifth. The speed of the leading car, 110.6 miles an hour, is a record by several miles an hour for the distance. This is Chris Economaki for Monitor Sports.
Now, in exhibition baseball, Chicago White Sox 14, New York Mets 8, Philadelphia 4, Boston 3, Houston 5, Kansas City 3, Oakland and the Cleveland B team canceled rain, Montreal 3, Atlanta B team 2 in 11 innings. Now one of the senior citizens of popular music with a song that tells it pretty much the way it is with him.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, I did it my way.
heart's mine.
My way. Frank Sinatra at 16 minutes after the hour. Morgan, here you're on the monitor beacon.
But you promised you'd take me to the show.
Don't you remember? You said that you...
You distinctly told me you'd have it here by 4 o'clock.
You've heard that before. Promises that are never kept. That's why we made sure we could deliver. Before we made promises, deliver a great beer in a can. Michelob. It's not the first time beer has been put into cans, but we took the time to deliver a great beer in a can. In beer going first class is Michelob. Period.
Even though most of us know that a natural part of a child's development is to put what he picks up into his mouth, we still leave medicines on the bedside table and drain cleaner under the kitchen sink. Lock these products away, or at the very least, put them on a high shelf. This message is brought to you as a public service by WNBC. In cooperation with the Planning Council for National Poison Prevention Week. WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Dionne Warwick, this girl's in love with you.
You see,
freedoms in contemporary life, which we're exploring at some length this weekend on Monitor, are very evident in the contemporary theater, as we hear now from our man on the aisle, Leonard Probst.
The breakthrough on Broadway came with a musical Hair that opened last season, is still going strong in New York, and has spawned other Hairs from London to Los Angeles. Since then, there have been a dozen plays with bare skin on stage, plays that wouldn't have opened, or if they had, would have been closed by the police a few years ago. Now, happily, that is a thing of the past. It's up to the people, not the police, to decide what we'll see on stage. Broadway is catching up to the new candor in movies, books, and art. However, the problem remains the same. A bad play is a bad play. It cannot be covered up by a lack of clothing. I have no idea as to the quality of a play that's opening at an off-Broadway theater tonight, but it is a first of sorts. It's called Che, as in Che Guevara, the late revolutionary leader. A man playing the role of Che and a woman called the Sister of Mercy, as the advertisement puts it, quote, have real live intercourse when the actors are in the mood, unquote. Well, the best way to regard such activity, it seems to me, is to judge it as to whether what's happening on stage is artistically necessary. That's the key. If it is, okay. If not, it's probably there for sensationalism or commercialism. Even musical comedy is being affected by the new freedom on stage. This week, a fine new show opened on Broadway, 1776. It's the sleeper of the season. It deals with the signing of the Declaration of Independence, does it seriously, with scholarship and accuracy. This is the first documentary musical, and it's a great show. The struggle to get the Continental Congress to agree to the Declaration has been made lively, warm, witty, and fresh. I doubt that a musical of such substance and seriousness would have made it to Broadway a few years ago. But in this new era of greater freedom, it's impossible to predict what'll happen next. It may sound strange to talk about a new musical that is seriously concerned with patriotism and the outer limits for sexual freedom, but they're both happening during the same week, and both are part of the new openness, the new freedom to tell it like it is, and even more, to show it like it is. Leonard Probst, NBC News, New York, and that's it from Broadway.
To say goodbye, cha-cha-cha. New one by Jack Gold, the orchestra, and the chorus. People who defend our space program are now able to point to certain fringe benefits of the enormously expensive research and testing programs, things that can be put to practical use by science, education, and private industry. Here to report on one such development in the world of space is Peter Hackus.
Nothing in the development of space systems happens overnight. It usually takes years from drawing board to hardware. But one by one, the developments do come along. Even the once far-out so-called spin-off civilian uses of outer space technology. The latest civilian byproduct is aboard the magnificent new luxury passenger liner, Queen Elizabeth II. When the good queen makes her maiden voyage a few weeks from now, one old familiar item of navigation equipment, the sextant, will be missing from the bridge. That time-honored, vital piece of gear has given way to the newest in navigation, the satellite. The Queen, first passenger ship to be guided from outer space, will have on board a $25,000 computerized electronic gadget that will keep the ship informed of its precise location at sea to within a tenth of a mile. Through daylight and darkness, 24 hours a day, snow, sleet, rain, and fog, incidentally, Queen Elizabeth II will be told where she is every 2 minutes. The Queen has equipment aboard which will constantly follow the overhead passes of two navigational satellites. That tracking information is fed into the ship's computer, which in an instant tells the skipper where he is. If there's an error, incidentally, it can tell him where he should be and how best to get there. Admittedly, it's too costly a system for most ships. Only about two or three dozen ships, half of them Navy vessels, have it so far. The computer eats up three-fourths of the price, so there's a plan afoot now to equip ships of the future with a tracking gadget and put the computer ashore. The planners say that within a decade, we may see two ground-based navigation centers, one along the U.S. East Coast, the other in Europe. Ships on the Atlantic will track the navigation satellites, radio that information to the closest shore, and the computerized shore installation will give the ship its location within seconds. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Orchestra. No matter where you live in the USA, monitors available on an NBC station in your area. Our friends in the area between Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks hear us on station KBLL, Helena, Montana. Very brief time out now. We'll be right back. My name is Mr. Morton.
Glenn,
I'm having a delicious Wetzel's hamburger.
It's great.
Does it really taste that good?
Don't be naive. A Wetzel's hamburger is a triumph of culinary art.
Do you really think that Wetzel serves the finest hamburgers in the whole world?
Naturally, nothing's too good for me.
You always eat at Wetzel's, don't you, Glenn?
Of course, only the best people eat at Wetzel's.
You know something, Glenn?
What?
You're a gourmet.
You love Wetzel's, taste of happiness on a bun.
All gourmets eat Wetzel's fish fillet sandwich. Topped with Wetzel's special tartar sauce dressing, it's fantastic. It's at Wetzel's.
Up, Up, and Away with Joe O'Brien. Weekday mornings, 5 to 9, on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, 5:30, 45 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. Mayor Lindsay says he'll call an emergency meeting of city hospital officials probably Monday to discuss the crisis at Harlem Hospital. The big 800-bed medical facility is faced with a shutdown because of a critical shortage of nurses and other personnel. Today, the hospital turned away all but emergency cases. Lindsay says officials will discuss possible cuts in services at other city hospitals if the legislature okays Governor Rockefeller's planned cuts in state spending. A New York City welfare official said today Governor Rockefeller's proposed budget is, in his words, immoral, disgraceful, and destructive. Lewis Levitt, an executive in the Social Services Commission, told an audience at Columbia University that the governor has yielded to more affluent groups and has turned to the poorest and most needy citizens as eventual targets in budget cutting. Young anti-war demonstrators disrupted a conference at Manhattan's Riverside Church today. About 30 protesters hooted and booed when Senator Wayne Morse began speaking. The audience of about 1,000 shouted back angrily, but the demonstrators kept jeering through the senator's speech. Morse's talks apparently didn't get through. He was criticizing U.S. foreign policy. Arthur Goldberg was also scheduled to speak, but he declined. Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell says he'll run for mayor of New York if he's assured of $1 million campaign chest. Powell says his backers have already raised $500,000. Another familiar New Yorker is thinking seriously about running. Former Mayor Robert Wagner is being urged by supporters to seek the Democratic nomination, and they've pledged financial backing. Wagner says he's interested. New Jerseyans who back Senator Eugene McCarthy and the late Senator Robert Kennedy are meeting in New Brunswick today to form an alliance. The group will be called the Coalition of New Jersey. Members will try to influence the upcoming Democratic gubernatorial primary. A former Democratic governor of New Jersey says he'll try again for the State House. Robert Miner will announce his candidacy for the Democratic primary next Wednesday in Newark. Three New Yorkers indicted in connection with the demonstrations at the Chicago Democratic Convention surrendered to federal authorities today. David Dellinger, Abby Hoffman, and Jerry Rubin appeared at federal court in Foley Square. Bail was set at $10,000 each, with the provision that the defendants put up $1,000 apiece. A Savannah, Georgia lawyer, J.P. Stoner, says James Earl Ray told him he was pressured into pleading guilty to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. Stoner visited Ray today in his cell at a Tennessee state prison and then later told newsmen he's representing Ray in a libel action against certain news media. Stoner said Life magazine and other publications interfered with getting Ray a fair trial. The FBI in New York says a man arrested for drunken driving today has wound up being charged with bank robbery. 66-year-old Anthony Seiler was wanted by federal authorities in connection with a holdup at Chase Manhattan Bank in Brooklyn and at several other robberies. He was hauled in for drunken driving this morning, and police routinely contacted the FBI, who identified Seiler as the bank robbery suspect. British troops have installed Commissioner Anthony Lee in his office on the tiny island of Anguilla, but they had to forcibly clear a path through 1,500 angry Anguillans to do it. The crowd, which amounted to one quarter of Anguilla's population of 6,000, surrounded Lee's car as it drove up to his office today and pounded on the roof and fenders. One report says Lee himself was punched in the mouth. The president of the rebel Caribbean island, Ronald Webster, is on his way to seek redress from the UN, and he broadcast an appeal to Anguillans to remain calm. Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker is expected to tell President Nixon this weekend that U.S. efforts in Vietnam is making progress and that we should not offer concessions to the enemy in Paris. The president has taken Secretary of State William Rogers and Presidential Advisor Henry Kissinger to California for top-level session with Bunker. Sultan Abdurrahman Ali Issa of Somalia, a tribal chief who, according to his subjects, had 350 wives, died in the town of Gaza today. The weather in New York, fair and colder tonight with a low in the mid to low 30s. It will be mostly sunny tomorrow with a high again near 50 degrees. Right now, it's 45 degrees and partly cloudy in New York. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car and you'll head for the best.
We are devoting part of our weekend to an examination of changing moral codes in the modern world. So far, we've explored various matters: the written and spoken word, censorship, dress, or the lack of it. Shortly, we'll have an overseas report from Japan on the changes that have taken place there in recent years. For Monitor 69, where we're devoting part of our weekend to an examination. Oh, my. You know, it seems to me I heard that somewhere before. And I just heard, "Will you be staying over Sunday?" by the Peppermint Rainbow.
This is the famous Miller High Life theme. It right. Always hearty, robust, deep down good. Always the champagne of bottle beer. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
Our series of reports on the worldwide change in moral climate continues now with a look at the profound changes taking place in life on the islands of Japan, especially among its youth. NBC newsman John Rich has the story.
Like much of the rest of the world, Japan is in a period of moral change. A revolution in social attitudes took place right after the end of World War II, and it still continues, keeping pace with the modern social climate evolving in the Americas, in Europe, and for that matter, in many of the other nations here in Asia. Japan's tightly knit system of family ties underwent a tremendous upheaval following Japan's surrender. Homes were broken up. The traditional authority of the head of the family was weakened, along with the totalitarian grip of state control. 2 decades ago, no young Japanese couple would dare be seen holding hands in public. Today, on a warm summer evening, Emperor Hirohito's outer palace grounds are crowded with youngsters walking arm in arm or petting under the pine trees. There are all-night bars and restaurants where the fast crowd can be found, whooping it up until dawn. Economic prosperity and the sudden proliferation of automobiles in the past few years have also given Japanese young people a freedom unknown to their parents. Japan has its hippies and its smokers of pot. Tokyo's Shinjuku district is their hangout. They're a comparatively small group at the moment, but they are extremely active and they make their share of headlines in the Japanese papers. The output of underground movies the past few years has been phenomenal. It adds up to the fact that Japan is no longer a hermit nation. It's no longer cut off from the outside world. Television, books, magazines, and motion pictures bring the new fads and the modern trends to Japan almost as soon as they spring up elsewhere. The young Japanese are eager, yes, determined to be with it. This inevitably has brought changes to old institutions. One of them feeling the pressure is the geisha system. Geisha parties still are held and a lot of business is transacted while the geisha strum their shamisens. But these parties are not only extremely expensive, they're generally very dull. The willow and wisteria world of the geisha is on the decline in Japan, slowly withering under competition from the mini-skirted bar girls and the mod nightlife that's available easily all around them. John Rich, NBC News, Tokyo.
Having heard how things are with the state of morality in Tokyo, we turn our attention to what's acceptable as behavior in the British Crown Colony of Hong Kong. NBC Newsman Bob Green reporting.
Prosperity brings change, and the British ruled colony of Hong Kong has enjoyed prosperity for the past 5 years. But prostitution didn't become one of Hong Kong's biggest industries overnight, or even in the last 5 years. The difference is that today there's more of it. Some say much more. It's the same with pornographic films, books, and magazines. They're easier to find today and in greater abundance. Like just about everything else in Hong Kong, the difference reflects a change in the supply and demand market. Hong Kong is a tourist center and garrison town, but above all else, a trading center in which sex is just another commodity. You can buy and sell almost anything. Whatever interferes with money-making, including moral considerations, threatens the pockets of a good many people. Not that some people aren't concerned, but the attitudes of most, including those who run things, is that prostitution is here to stay, and that it even fulfills necessary social functions. That's Chinese realism and British pragmatism speaking. Social changes here also have a lot to do with Hong Kong's efforts to keep up with the rest of the world. The impact of the sexual revolution or new morality has been strong, especially on the young. Its manifestations include mixed parties among high school students, a rarity 5 years ago, a growing mod youth cult who the Chinese call fly boys and fly girls, and the brisk sale of birth control pills to unmarried girls. According to parents and elders, it can all be traced to the sex theme in movies, TV, advertisements, and the international youth conspiracy with its message of love. Bob Green, NBC News, Hong Kong.
Or New York. Could be there, too. Throughout the weekend, we'll hear more about the new freedoms in manners, morals, and language later day, today on Monitor. Your host, Ted Steele. You know, they ought to get a younger guy here. Your host, Ted Steele, he ain't young, will have reports on changing behavior patterns from various localities, including London, England. With one of those songs. Other songs coming up. Also, sports and news right here on the Monitor Beacon.
I have an island to tell you about. An unheard of island where you can roam the Scottish Highlands and see lemons, tamarinds, plantains, nutmegs, oranges, and cinnamon grow wild. An island where you can visit the big city and see Lord Nelson's statue amid the tropical flowers of Trafalgar Square. An island made of coral, with lively beaches for surfing and quiet ones for sunning. An island where you can taste flying fish and red rum sangaree. An island where you they can watch polo and cricket and take tea every afternoon at 4. An unheard of island called Barbados. I know an airline that will fly you here. BWIA. Call the travel man. Or BWIA. And come to an unheard of island on BWIA. The unheard of airline.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Here's a young lady named Sandy Shaw. This is her latest, Monsieur Dupont.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day. America, I sat in Romeo with a St. Joe Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever want to go home anymore. You said hello to me, and I began to say that I could fall in love with you. I seem to realize the kind of paradise your continental kiss could lead me to. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me seem so tender.
Atlanta Braves hitting star Hank Aaron in just a few moments.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, the following commercial will be heard.
Hey, look at us now. We've got the winners and all. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
It is written, winning may not be everything, but losing isn't anything.
Cougar's the top cat in the whole USA. See it today.
There once was a lady from Chattanooga who smiled while she rode through her cougar.
Whatever turns you on, baby.
Inch for inch, pound for pound, no sports car around beats cougar for pure luxury.
When a man follows me in my cougar, I use the sequential turn signal to make sure he won't lose me.
Drive cougar and see how great a winner can be. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
How did they ever get that cougar on top of the Lincoln Mercury sign?
Very carefully.
Now, monitor sports. Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves hopes that someday he'll have a front office job. But in the meantime, he'll keep rewriting the record books with his hitting. Phil Schaefer reports.
Henry Aaron, last year you hit a very significant home run in your career. You got a chance right now to jump all the way up to number 3 as far as all-time home run hitters.
Well, that's true. If I can have any kind of a decent year, I mean, in home runs, I think that if possible, it could get to number three spot in the all-time home run list. But I'm just looking forward to having a good year.
Hank, you've always talked about that 3,000 hit. I know you must be looking forward to reaching that goal. At times, you've even hinted that maybe after you get number 3,000, you might retire.
Well, I've thought of this very carefully, and I even when I started playing baseball in 1954, professional baseball, I said that this would be my ultimate goal, is to get 3,000 base hits, and once I reach this plateau, I would have to give it some serious thinking about whether I would continue playing baseball.
You may worry about your legs, and yet, Hank, you continue to be, year in and year out, one of the leading base stealers for the Atlanta Braves.
Well, that's why I've always said the element of surprise. You know, brother, they don't believe that me being a home run hitter, that you can steal bases, but I've been very proud of my base stealing record simply because I haven't been a base stealer all my baseball career. You know, I just started stealing in the last 4 or 5 years, and when I did was able to get the goal sign, I've been very successful at it.
They've moved the outfield fences in a little bit at Atlanta Stadium and the two power alleys. Is that going to help you any?
Well, I think it will. It's not only going to help me, but it's just going to help the Atlanta Braves Baseball Club. We basically are the power hitting ball club, and I think with everybody healthy, Cleet and Rico and players like this, I think it's definitely going to up our run production. Now, I know this doesn't sit very good with the pitching staff because they like for the fences to be a lot further than what they are. But I think with all the kids coming into the league, new pitchers, I think this is going to help balance the thing out.
Last year, you were a little bit concerned about some of the inconsistency in the calls by the umpires as far as the strike zone was concerned. Now, the strike zone has been altered somewhat. Have you seen any difference at all during spring training as far as you're concerned as a hitter?
No, I haven't. And I think it's going to take these umpires about 2 years to catch on to the new strike zone. This is what they did before, and they've been changing it so rapidly, really, and I don't, it gets me confused. I don't really know what the strike zone is myself. But I think it's going to take these umpires about 2 years before the new strike zone really catch on to them.
Well, Hank, you've had one great year on top of another, and we know 1969 is going to be another big one for the Hammer.
Well, I hope so, Phil.
Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves. And this is Phil Schaefer for Monitor Sports.
Now a reminder for an appropriate Easter remembrance.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
Once again, some musica. Shango, day after day.
Day after day, more people come to L.A. Shh, don't you tell anybody, the whole place slipping away.
Where can we go when there's no San Francisco? Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat in Idaho.
Do you know the swim? You better learn quick, Jim.
Those who don't know the swim, better sing to him.
At the boat, fine fillet of mutton.
What can you do with a bushel of wet gold? Day after day, more people come to L.A. Shh, don't you tell anybody, the whole place shaking away. Where can we go when there's no San Francisco? Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat in Idaho. Day after day, more people come to L.A. Shh, don't you tell
landing on it. The walls get shaken away. Where can we go when there's no San Francisco? Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat tonight. Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat tonight. Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat tonight.
Here's a monitor tip for motorists. If you're driving in fog at night and your car isn't equipped with fog lights, use the lower beam or dim setting on your headlights rather than the bright setting. The reason for this is that the droplets of fog reflect light back toward your car, and at the lower level, it won't shine in your eyes. Now this from State Farm.
This is Don Adams. Yesterday, a truck hit my parked car. I considered donating the remains of the car to the Museum of Modern Art. But instead, I called my State Farm agent. I knew that State Farm Mutual, the world's biggest car insurer, would take care of things in a hurry. My agent asked if I could drive the car over. I said no, but I could mail it to you.
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Page and his orchestra. Now, here's an item you may have overlooked. Comedian Thelma Lee claims the distinction of having performed at 38 ladies' club luncheons so far this year, and she has a complaint. She says, I've either got to get out of showbiz or get into Weight Watchers. For other weighty matters of note in the world, stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour. Mr. Morgan here.
Hi, this is Joe O'Brien. The Sisterhood of Temple Beth Shalom on Huntington Road in Stratford, Connecticut, extends an open invitation to all area residents to attend an art auction tonight, March 22nd, in Snyder Hall of the Temple. A large collection of oils, watercolors, drawings, etchings, and lithographs, signed and numbered by many very famous artists, will be displayed during the preview at 7 p.m., followed by the auction at 8. There is no admission charge. And tomorrow, March 23rd, Goddard Riverside Community Center will present a concert by Beatrice Rippey, soprano, assisted by David Weber, clarinet, and Carol Hollister, pianist. The concert will take place tomorrow, March 23rd, at 3 p.m. in the auditorium of the Saul Bloom School, 32 West 92nd Street, admissions free. The Winston-Salem North Carolina State College Choir, conducted by Dr. James A. Dillard, will be presented in a benefit concert in the main sanctuary of the Antioch Baptist Church of Brooklyn, 828 Green Avenue, between Lewis and Stuyvesant, at 4 p.m. tomorrow, March 23rd.
The Big Wilson Show. It's man-sized. Weekdays, 9 to noon, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.